Hi, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
And we are Working Class Nerds.
Where the podcast gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is live stream Thursday, October 11th, 2018. You can find this awesome Baby Break podcast on Google Play, Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. You can find me on Twitter. I am at MarcusB814.
And I am at Nick Vern. That's N-I-C-K-V-E-R-N. And this week's episode, we're talking about the SOTOR 5.10 live stream that happened today. Joining us is the man, the myth, the legend, Dr. SOTOR.
That's so great. You're too kind, Nick.
Of course. So, Doc, what have you been up to in the video game world this past week or so?
Well, I'm involved in Marcus's Sunday night raid team, the Death Star Troopers. I'm the healer, well, one of the healers in the group. So we did have a pretty successful Sunday this week. We took down Isaac and Gods from the Machine for the first time in a while. That was a good feel for the group. And I'm also co-host of Utini Cast and an officer in the Utini Guilds on the Satil Shan server. Which is new for me, something I've picked up the last several months since moving to the West Coast and needing people who are in the true time zone.
Oh,
which
please,
is Pacific time. Zone. Yeah.
That's the lazy time zone.
No, they can have the true time zone, but we're the real world time zone.
Okay.
You know, Nick, that whole lazy thing, like, I totally get it, but I choose to look at it as we're more relaxed and we let our priorities play themselves out.
You know, that's very fair. I think we're an uptight bunch over on the East Coast here.
Absolutely. So many deadlines. You're high strung and angry.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
I'm not angry.
Well, you're not.
Okay, Marcus.
Whatever you have to tell yourself so you can sleep at night.
We call that positive self-talk in my line of work.
Aha.
Yeah.
Well, no, I call it just positivity in my world. Anyways, okay. Nick.
Can I add one more thing, though? Sorry to cut you off, Marcus. Another thing I've been up to is Marcus and I have been, we started an exploration into how well SWTOR can be used as a personality testing tool. We're doing a series of episodes called SWTOR Psych Talk. And we've done two episodes of that. So that's also something that I've been up to since the last time we got to speak on this podcast.
That's very cool. I'm very interested to see the results of that because you'll have a, you know, relatively in-depth view into Marcus's head and how he plays games. It'd be interesting to see if that result is different than his, you know, a personality test he might take, you know, sometime during the playthrough. As himself instead of, you know, his character choices.
Right. And that's something that I have to consider as I'm sort of guiding the conversational piece of those episodes is the question always is this just how Marcus plays a video game or is this who Marcus is, whether he's in a video game or at work or talking with his employees or his friends and family or, you know, is he consistent? Or is the video game an escape from the pressures of being so consistent?
Right. Yeah, I know for me, that would it would definitely be different, particularly with my SOTOR tune. But anywho.
not me. I tell everybody I'm the same person I am with you guys that I am with my mom. So, you know, it doesn't change. But anyway, Nick, what have you been up to this week?
Well, I played a little bit of Siege, which I do, you know, just about all the time, but I actually did well for once. Usually I'm like a middle of the pack kind of guy, get a couple assists, you know, call out people, and, you know, help the team a little bit, but I actually put the team on my back for a couple games in a row, which is a very, very rare occurrence. I got like 10 kills, 3 games in a row. That was a lot. So with the help of Al, he was helping me out with some call outs and stuff like that, but that doesn't happen often. So not to toot my own horn, but usually I'm terrible. So beyond that, it's been a pretty school heavy time frame right now. I'm really looking forward to the sort of between midterms lull so that I can go back to saving Manhattan as our favorite web slinger. But that's it for me. Marcus, what have you been up to?
Well, first thing I want to say is this is really weird for me. So everybody should know that Nick is not sitting in front of me right now.
Oh, right.
and this is kind of really weird.
Yeah, when we were reading through the intro, it was like, I felt very wrong, because I'm sitting in my room by myself, have like a full computer desk set up with multiple monitors. Usually I don't have all this luxury space.
No, and you're in a dust, and you're in a dust infested shop.
Right. I'm like way too comfortable right now. But anyways.
Meanwhile, so as Doc was saying, we did Psych Talk episode 2. I call that The Revenge of the Slave. I have never done the Sork story. I think I started one and I got off Korriban. So everything from this point forward is a mystery to me. And you know, I've heard bits and pieces, but never followed the actual storylines for anything. Because I don't like to ruin the story. So anytime anybody ever kind of plays it, I kind of look away like, don't show me. Because, right. You know, I know I'm eventually going to get my legendary status and I'll have all the class stories. Like Doc said, Sunday we did Gods from the Machine, but we cheated. And we...
Wait, how'd you cheat? Oh, you had a lockout, right?
Yeah, so we had a lockout. Dent did the first three bosses, got through Nahut, and then we started off at Skyva, which was really fun. And then for Fun Feeling Mondays... we did Terror from Beyond, which is always fun. Great group of people. It's just a fun night to have. But I'm going to say, not unfortunately. So for the next like 3 weeks, I will be on baby break for Death Star Troopers, Fun Feeling Mondays. This Saturday, I think Doc and I were saying that we're going to do episode 3 of the Psych Talk. That can be Revenge of Khaldan or something like that. And we can hopefully get that going. Unless, of course, my wife has the baby, which that can happen at any point moving forward. Right. Something else that caught my eye. So as Nick and I have alluded, we're Greek. And we're not 100% Greek, but I tell everybody I'm 50% French-Canadian, but 100% Greek. Mm-hmm. It's just the way... my mental capacity thinks about it, right? I'm really proud of that heritage, I guess I should say. Right. So anyway, so there's this game called Assassin's Creed, the new one. I think it's Odyssey. Yeah. Yep. So anyway, and it's set at like 421 BC or 31 in Greece. So you're basically a rogue Spartan, and that's how the game treats you. So I purchased it. And I'm completely sucked in. And Nick last night was getting picture messages from me at midnight of me in front of the Temple of Zeus. And I was just like, this is awesome. And finally I looked at the clock and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, oh my God, I got to go to bed. My daughter's going to be up no later than 6 a.m. and I'm going to be tired.
Yeah.
So other than that, I am really excited to talk about this live stream. You know, Everybody has their own feelings about live streams because, you know, they try to do a good job for everybody, but, you know, there's always people that are just miserable. But right. Anyway, if all this sounds fun to you, go to aie-guild.org and get our Discord information. Then you can jump in the SOTOR text channel and ask for a guild invite. We would love to have you, and you can come play with me, Nick. And maybe we can run some fun stuff and get Nick back in the game. But right now his head is in Manhattan swinging around the city. So we got to just reel him back in.
I think after I save Manhattan officially, I'm going to get back into SOTOR. I really want to get on the, finish my Jedi, not warrior. That's the Sith class, but Jedi Knight class.
Yeah.
I want to finish that for sure.
Are you what planet are you on? Do you remember?
No, just still the starting planet. I didn't get very far. I did the Master's Datacron to jump up to level 70, and then
on the Jedi too.
Yes, and then well, I wanted to have a pub character and an imp character so that I could do end game content eventually with you guys. That's or something in that capacity.
Sure,
but that was the goal anyway. So I want to finish that, and I'm sure there's some kind of Revan tie-in. Like, because I read, you know, I've listened to all the books or the not all the books, but the SOTOR like pre-release books. So I want to see if that pops up at all. I know like you see the Revenites in the Sith Warrior class a little bit, but I want to explore that a little bit more. So Marcus, would you like to take a break and then jump into this live stream info?
Sure thing.
All right, we'll be right back. And we're back. So today we're discussing the SOTOR live stream that Eric and Keith hosted today, or as Marcus likes to call it, the Super SOTOR 5.10 review.
Ha!
So, what's really stood out to you guys, or what are you excited about from the new update?
For me, if I'm just going to give a quick like synopsis, I'm really excited for the guild stuff.
Yeah, that seemed really cool,
Doc.
I'm really excited that they're giving a story, but the story is taking place on a new weekly area, because weeklies are something that I end up basing a lot of the time when I'm playing alone. It's a really good way to grind for command experience, to get some boxes and hopefully some gear. And also a lot of times conquest points are tied up in that. So we're getting a new planet with new story, new daily missions, and it seems like they're tapping into a lot of things the game used to do that hasn't recently. And so it's like they're really thinking about what SWTOR can be at its best, and they're trying to make this new planet fit that mold.
That's a good point. For me, I'm excited to see, first of all, I have to get to this content, so it's motivating for me to get through the rest of the end game content. But I'm really excited about seeing Master Nostral. I think that's how you pronounce his name. That's how they were pronouncing his name in Annihilation when I listened to the book. But it's cool to see, because I heard all about this Jedi Master in the book, interacting with the protagonist and stuff like that. But I guess he's never been in the game prior to. So it's cool to see somebody from the book actually come to life, like in the video game. For me.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet. So when they started out, they were with Keith and Eric were there, and they kind of gave us just kind of a quick update of what the day was gonna be. Basically said we're getting nightmare mode, gods from the machine, some masterwork armor, which is basically tier 5, some guild improvements, a new planet and daily area. New storyline based on the rivalry between the Sith and the Jedi. And we're getting some returning companions, Doc, Nadia, Light Side Jaysa, Kem Vol, and unfortunately, you guys are all going to get your Dark Side Jaysa, but that's not the right side. So as we're jumping in, I just want to say the Nightmare Gods from the Machine, I think it's cool. I'll never get to see it. As much as I want to, I'll never get to.
Right.
And then just jumping into that, I'm really curious to see how all the tier 5 gear comes out of everything but the master mode. They said there was a bunch of different ways to get it, but, the part that you're going to need from Gods from the Machine is only going to come from their nightmare or master mode.
Oh, I see. Well, that's difficult to get then, to say the least.
Yeah. What do you think, Doc?
I think that the tier 5 gear is designed to reward people who can already beat some of the hardest stuff in the game. But they were talking about how they're using the test server to figure out how they're retuning the ops with this new gear. And they're actually more interested in how the current gear functions the way they're tuning the boss fights, not the new tier. So that tells me that teams might not need them unless they are playing the hardest and most punishing versions of the content. So... Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they said that they, yeah, you're not going to be able to use the tier 5 gear in the PTS or something like that because right. they want more 248 data.
Right, not at first at all. So they're not interested in seeing how well teams do on the test server with Master Mode Isaacs with, you know, the 258 level gear, which would be the new max right. best in slot, right? They don't want to see that because that tells me that 248 is what you need. 258 is what you're supposed to want.
Right.
But I'm not convinced that the avenues for acquiring 258 are going to be matching with the ways that I want to play. So that's something that I have a lot of question marks about right now, actually.
It seems, and you know, I'm a bit of an outsider looking in, but overly difficult for the average ops, even an average ops player, to obtain some 258 gear. Because the average ops, you know, player in my mind does not do a whole lot of master mode ops, at least not, you know, to the level of a Gods from the Machine master mode op, which right. to my knowledge is extremely difficult to begin with.
And something that just popped into my head just talking about that, you're right, because if they didn't have the command crates,
mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't be in 248 gear.
Right.
Because all the ops that I run either drop 236 gear or 242 gear.
Right.
And when you complete Gods from the Machine on story mode, yeah, you get 242 gear, but it's not your entire gear set.
Right.
So you have mostly 236 and 242. So if the command crates didn't exist, I wouldn't have best in slot gear.
Right.
Right.
You know, so because of the command crates, that's the only reason why I have the 248. But I'll still want it.
There might be nice avenues, though, for players like you and I, Marcus, to still get some 258. But I think the players who have those organized teams, who study the game in the best way possible, who go for world firsts on the nightmare operation level, they're going to get their 258 gear, and, you know, it's for them. And, you know, what's it going to help them with? Because, I mean, if you're beating the master mode version of Gods from the Machine, what do you need that gear for? Like, are you going to just beat that op every night? Like, I see a logical disconnect the way I think, but BioWare's making the game they want to make. And so I'm glad there is tier 5 gear, and I hope that eventually after several months we see an adjustment to make it so that we can find it. You know, I think, right. I mean, there is going to be crafting for it, and I'm excited for that because I used to craft pretty religiously as far as things that benefit my characters. So that's neat, and I think that certain things that are very important will drop from the daily area, it sounds like. Right. So they're thinking about a lot more things than they were even able to talk about in that 90-minute stream. So I'm just sort of posing the natural questions that I have coming out of. They're talking about a way of playing that I haven't seen or experienced yet.
Right. And, you know, going with that, they said that because they're coming out with the master mode. See, I almost said nightmare again. The master mode of Gods from the Machine, they're going to tune the veteran mode down to make it, you know, a little less nightmare. I mean, master mode ish. They're going to make it a little just like a normal veteran mode operation, which is kind of good because maybe, you know, when we start doing hard mode ops, you know, maybe that's something that we can actually attempt and maybe pull off.
Right. So, right.
Anyway, so that, you know, so I'm happy. But again, I'll never see it. If somebody's streaming master mode, I'm going to watch it just to see the mechanics. There's somebody that I watch frequently on Twitch, and it's a healer, and she does Nightmare, and they've been working on Brontes for a while, and it's mm-hmm. the most satisfying stream watching there is for me, because the mechanics that they're seeing, I don't see. And if you get hit by one of these, you know, the hands, you're dead. The tank has to have aggro on these hands all the time. So that's what's wild for me for the
master mode stuff.
Yes. Thank you. So,
Go ahead. I was going to say, I'm really excited about this story. I kind of have to qualify a lot of what I'm saying, because I haven't gotten through a bunch of it, SOTOR yet. But my favorite parts are obviously the story, in the base game. And, I'm just a big lore guy to begin with. So them returning to,
Ossus?
Ossus and a story based on, Jedi versus Sith, not necessarily Republic versus Imperial stuff. Like, the soldiers getting involved are cool, but it being, just light side, dark side, force interactions is really cool. And like you always say, who doesn't want to use a lightsaber? that's got to be Disney's number one selling product from the Star Wars acquisition is lightsabers, myself included. That's the two first classes that I'm trying to get through first are the two, lightsaber wielding, soldiers. So I'm really excited just to see what they're going to do with that story. And you get to see some companions come back. I'm really excited that I get to work with Jaysa again, of course, dark side Jaysa, not light side Jaysa.
Yeah.
That's exciting. And some of the pictures that they shared were really cool. The planet looks awesome.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I saw the first screenshot, and I'm looking at it when they got to Ossus, and you see the like three Jedi as statues, and it actually made me think of Doc Sotor and his logo for himself, because it has three lightsabers coming to a point, and theirs is there's three lightsabers. They're not making a point, but I guess it's the opposite. And it made me think of it. Huh?
That's sort of like a chevron.
Yeah.
It's like a downward pointing triangle. Kind
Correct.
Of.
Correct. Yes. And it looks really pretty.
Doc, did anything else stand out to you?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that I remember from before launch, so this is pre-winter 2011,
mm-hmm.
there were already news stories that BioWare had decided that same-sex romances of companions would be possible, but that they wouldn't make it into the launch game, right? So originally the classes, you had these five companions, and that's it. That's who you get to choose from to support you on your quests. And there was not the same-sex romance option. So if you're a male character, then only the specific female character that fits into the romance options BioWare is offering you were available.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the expansions, the characters that are isolated to the expansions from the beginning, first expansion, Rise of the Hutt Cartel, there were opportunities to flirt and kind of have a more romantic bent to interactions with those non-playable characters.
Mm-hmm.
But some more companions are coming back because something happens in the story that makes you lose contact with them. And so each segment of story we've been getting throughout 2018, sometimes companions come back into the fold, and some of the ones that we're getting back do have that female character of the player could romance them, the female companion returning.
Right.
And so that's sort of doing good on something BioWare has said was in their roadmap, for 7 years. And it's really exciting to see that they're starting to do that. And I hope they continue to expand, because I like symmetry and I like consistency. So if it ends up, a year from now that still only these two companions have this, I'll be surprised. But I think it's always a good step to start doing something that you weren't doing, because that shows that you didn't forget it shows that it was important enough to work it in. They get, you know, get the voice actor or actress to come in and do more lines. And, you know, a lot goes into even the smallest change that BioWare chooses to do just because of the structure of how SWTOR works.
Right.
That's a great point. I hadn't even thought of that. So, well, obviously, how could I? I haven't played through the story enough to see where you lose your companions. But, Marcus, what were you going to say?
Well, you know, going with what he was saying about, you know, doing stuff, bringing a daily area back to the new planet is going to make the replayability awesome. And I hope it's like the CZ-198 weekly and daily area rather than the Iocath one.
Yeah, I think that it would be really great if it's something that is in that right proportion. It fits into the day of a player who's, you know, both a player who is sitting down to stream for 4 hours or a person who's playing for 20 minutes before they go to work. If this daily area can fit the lives of both those people, I think that's a huge win. Maybe because I'm biased and I'm both those people, but I find the more recent daily area undoable because it's designed so that you cannot complete it in one day. So I look at my time and CZ-198, I can complete that in 15 to 20 minutes. One sitting, it's done. So I accomplished something. And so I hope that that model is utilized with this Osis planet that they're adding into the narrative.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be great that they're bringing back the Empire and Republic storylines. I know we've known that was coming, but just to hear them talk about it. And then at the same time, them saying that, you know, you're going to be able to be a saboteur or a loyalist.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so the way they explained it was, you're going to get to the planet, and if you're a Republic player but you sided with the Empire, you're going to, you know, almost be like a super spy, and you'll probably sabotage the Republic. And this is just me, you know, this is my pure speculation on how it's all going to work. But I think it's a cool thing because, you know, maybe you were affected. And I know my character that I'm playing, this is Sorcerer in Psych Talk. I know that if I was going through Coffee, Kotet, and then the Traitor Trilogy, in my opinion, if I was on the Republic side, I wouldn't want to side with them because I don't feel like they had my back through that. And I would be very passionate about that, and I would be a saboteur rather than a loyalist.
That's cool.
I think that one of the parts of this game that has been part of the DNA but maybe forgotten a little bit is the idea that choices matter. And that was a tagline of sorts at the launch of the game. Those two words created my idea, along with a few other things, to do the dissertation that I did in, right, you know, counseling. I just really believe that mantra works. And so now we're at the point in the story where your character has made so many choices that, you know, just that black or white decision of I support the Empire, I support the Republic, you know, the faction you were created under maybe isn't the one that your choices have been the most helpful for. So I think it's really cool that the story is taking that and doing something creative to, you know, you're still an Empire character or a Republic character, but now you get to experience some of those avenues of you're a Sith, but nothing you've done since you created this character has helped the Sith to acquire power and break their chains. Right. Or, you know, you're a Jedi, but nothing that you have done has acknowledged that the Force is greater than anything that you're trying to accomplish yourself.
Right.
Yeah. It makes sense. Like, I know Marcus is light side all the time with his, you know, Sith Warrior classes. So it doesn't make a lot of sense for him to suddenly switch to dark side stuff or aiding the Empire, do nefarious things. It, you know, just because it's a different piece of endgame content, you know?
Right. Yeah. So something else they said, there's going to be a new reputation track. So basically a new rep grind. Mm-hmm. They're going to give us 3 new Datacrons, which is pretty fun. 2 new world bosses, which I think that's going to be really fun and interesting because so many people are going to want to kill these world bosses. It'll actually be a race to get to them.
Right.
You know, because so many people are going to want to kill it.
And it could be a new mega event.
Right.
Down the road, I should say.
And then the other thing that caught my eye was they mentioned seeker droids. And did they confirm that, like, one of the missions are going to be a seeker droid mission? Or are they – I'm curious on that one. That one I'm really interested to see the transition to the seeker droid. Because I enjoyed that quest.
I personally have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm sure Doc has done it.
What have I done?
The seeker droid quest.
Oh, I've made it to the very end, but I haven't finished it.
Because it's a heroic 4 and you actually need 4 people.
That's right. And since so few people are dedicated to doing that these days, it's hard to find people who are on exactly the final quest.
Challenge accepted.
Well, I've joined a few groups that were designed to get that done. And we didn't have comms, or the one time we had comms, the person was a bit on the tool side. And you have to coordinate what you're doing to get the doors to open right. So,
right,
didn't work. But Marcus, my wife and I are both stuck with our Starforge tunes waiting to finish. It's either the binoculars or the seeker droid. I don't remember which one we finished and which one we're waiting on. But if you invest your time and get to the end, we have 3 out of 4 people we need already.
All right, I'm in. I have a character at the end of the quest on one of my tunes ready to go.
Well, there we go.
Oh, I love it. The macro binoculars final phase is awesome. I'm terrible at jumping, so it'll be on you guys to get us through it. And then the last thing, which a lot of people love decorating their strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
For the new Ossus, they said there's going to be a ton of new decorations for the strongholds, which is good because I think the game is short on decos, especially nice ones for all the strongholds.
Mm-hmm. It'll be cool to see. I know I want some of those big Jedi statues that you can see in Ossus in the pictures that they shared.
Right.
That'd be cool to have like a mini version of that in your in your stronghold, like right in the entrance or something.
Yep. Something funny that I'm just going to briefly say is they have the auto-complete to Ossus. Mm-hmm. Almost like when you boost yourself to 65, you go to Ossus, anything that happened before that is going to be wiped away and you cannot go back to it, which was a little funny to me.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was you couldn't go back to it or it was like they auto-filled the choices you made through the other expansions.
Well, they do both. You can't go back.
Oh, that's odd. I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, if somebody's already done all of the content and they want their new tune to just get there.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
You know, so. Just
to see like all the different interactions with the different classes or something.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Rather than play through everything 8 times.
Well, in fact, if you purchase the Master's Datacron, mm-hmm. which creates a new tune, or you take your new tune, even yep. level 1, boost them to 70, get the 230 gear, go to your ship that they just gave you, and you select to go to Osus, then there is no story at all that your character has to do now. Everything is simulated and you are fully in the end game without having to do a single class-specific quest. I'm not upset at that. It's neat that that option exists. I think other MMOs really streamline people to the, you know, fast lane to the end game too. So that being there, if you're motivated just to do that content at the end, and you want to spend your coins that way, great.
Right. There was, so there was a screenshot of a character on a reptile type mount with three Jedi like that were buried in the sand, it almost looks like, or snow, I'm not really sure. And I don't know if that mount is available yet, but that mount looks pretty sweet. And maybe it is available and I've just never seen it before, but I want one.
Yeah. I don't know. You're doing a good job if you leave the stream wanting the stuff they showed you in a picture, right?
Right, exactly. Absolutely. So yeah. Moving to the companions, and we briefly mentioned it, you know, I don't have any ties to any of these companions that are coming back. None of them, like, yeah, they were my companions, but I'm just starting with Ken Paul. So I don't really know. You know, they mentioned that I can, you know, have Ken Paul's back or he dies or something, but on the stream, but I, you know, I don't know what they're talking about. So I'm eager to see that. So I think I'm going to keep Ken Paul as my companion through my whole psych talk.
Sure.
Mission. I kind of like him.
You know, I learned something from the way they discussed that because I know what my choices were, but they let me know that something I would have never thought of is different if I were not me and I made that other choice. So I'm not mad at all. I think, you know, the choice element of this game and other games I'm really fond of are why I play, really, right. why I am who I am. So the fact that the Ken Paul thing has such a ripple effect is really interesting to me.
Right.
So yeah, I'm curious to see what they do with Jaysa. Like, because I think they said that light side Jaysa is going to be tied into the main quest, but then dark side Jaysa is going to be like sort of a separate thing. I'm assuming some kind of side quest where you're going to go off with her and do something. So I'm curious to see how, and it sounds like it's a very, very different experience depending on who, which version of Jaysa you have.
Yeah, I won't see that version.
We'll have to compare notes when we go through it.
Actually, that's a really good idea. Sit side by side and do it at the same time. Like, I'll do the light side and then you can go and do the dark side and see, you know,
do it the difference. The way that you were talking about it, it made it seem like they're not even parallel. It's like the light side is sort of tied in like some of the other companions with the main storyline of Ossus. But then the dark side Jaysa thing, it said it was like they made it seem like it was an entirely different narrative that you do with her.
Right.
That's not just sort of in parallel with the light side one. So I'm curious to see what that's all about for sure.
Well, one thing I suspect is that whichever one they were creating first, I think it was dark side Jaysa.
I believe so too.
Yeah. I feel like there's a very good probability that that one is a quest that you need to complete. Whereas the one that they got in as a surprise today, which is Lightside, that one I feel is very likely to be a conversation
that I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
That's a good call.
Like, yeah. go meet with Lightside Jaysa, and then you talk to her to continue the quest, versus you go maybe meet up with Darkside Jaysa and do something with her as like a temporary companion. Is that what you're kind of saying, Dr. Sotor?
Yeah, like there's different alliance alerts that we've been playing in the game with since Knights of the Fallen Empire to expand our roster of companions. Some of them are very intricate, like to get Kaizen Fest, you run around Hoth and kill things for a few hours or go kill some world bosses to earn favor from the scorekeeper, which convinces him that he should fight with you, right? He's a really cool companion. And then you have other ones where you go talk to them and they're like, oh, sweet, you're back, I'm in.
Right.
And that's fine. Not every single one of the companions, the 50 companions it seems like we get, needs to have a 2-hour engagement to add them to your list. So I'm just prepared for, I'm happy that these companions are coming back, and they've shown that there's a couple different avenues for how these characters do come back into our roster. So as a sorcerer, my favorite companion from that class came back in one of the more recent updates, and it was a very well done conversation where you have to decide, you know, how you want your previous choices in how you interact with her to continue moving forward, given the fact that, you know, Knights of the Fallen Empire and Eternal Throne have happened since then.
Right.
So, you know, whatever they do, it's going to be well done. I think that, you know, I would hope that they're somewhat comparable, because I don't really want the Dark Side Jace people to have a better game experience than the Light Side Jace ones. But either way, I'm glad that Jace is back.
Yes.
I agree.
So two more things and then we can get out of here. But the first thing is, and I'm saving for me the best for last with the guild stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the graphic they gave us and how they highlighted the new characters in the stream, how one side has all like the light side blue, green, and purple lightsabers, and the Sith side is all red. Mm-hmm. And then they slowly lit up characters,
mm-hmm.
and to bring us to the final like new loading screen, where that, you know, they put the title of Star Wars: The Old Republic at the top and shows all the new characters and stuff. And there's the hooded figure in the back, Malgus. But it's
hoping it's Malgus. Yeah,
it has to be. You know.
Oh, and they played with us in the stream too. So one of the names of the dark side character, yeah, that is being introduced is Darth Malora, I believe, is, yeah, how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you know, this next character, as they're unveiling the people on the graphic, this next character is a dark side character that you've played with since the beginning of the game. It's been in the game since launch. Name is six letters,
yeah,
and begins with an M. What do you guys in the chat think the next letter is? And everyone's like, A. And like a gazillion A's, like, oh, yep, M-A. Okay, third one, what do you think it is? L. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's M-A-L. Well, the name is Darth Malora. And we're like, wah, not Malgus. I was really disappointed as well. Maybe other people weren't so easily duped, but I was in it hook, line, and sinker.
I thought you were about to get your wish, Marcus. I really did. But as soon as they shifted it and showed that they have a well-developed troll gene over in BioWare.
I'm going to recognize one of the trolls. One of the trolls said, oh, yeah, one thing I can guarantee from this update is bugs. And Eric Musco just jumped right out in the stream. He's like, hold on. This one guy said the one thing that this update's going to have is bugs. And he's like, go on to the PTS and test it and find the bugs and let me know. And I will make sure they're fixed. Thank you. And I thought it was the greatest thing somebody could say, because, you know, some of the comments in the chat were just insane. Anyway. Yeah. So, other characters we're getting is Tau Nadir, General Darun, and Major Anari, and then the one that Mr. Nick is, mm-hmm, really excited for. What's his name?
In the audiobook, they're pronouncing it something to the effect of Master Nostral.
Yep.
So I forgot his race, but he seemed like a really cool, like super duper light side user. And he helped out the protagonist from Annihilation, whose name I'm blanking on, but he was really cool in the book, and I'm like I said earlier, I'm pumped to see him fleshed out in a video game.
Right. And just so everybody knows, they're trying to get the PTS out tomorrow, or early next week. And as the weeks go on, every week to 2 weeks, they're going to do a new update and adding something new to it, which is, I think, is great. And it's going to be open to the public, so no NDAs. They just say, just come play it and try it.
Sweet.
Yep.
So do you want to get into the your favorite guild stuff?
Yes. So first things first is I'm just getting to it. Sorry, guys. Okay, first thing I'm going to say is the guild landing page. Mm-hmm. Now, it says new interface to show off info of your guild at a glance. So if that's what the way I'm reading it is, if so, somebody scrolls over me, a box is going to above my head and it's going to say AIE Guild. Or if they scroll over Doc, it'll say Utini Knights or Utini Rage, whatever it is. And what I like about it is hopefully, you know, you can put in AIE's sense, you could put, you know, the Escape Podcast. So if somebody knows about the Escape Podcast, but they might not know at a glance that, you know, this tune is named Jubba Lubba is me.
Right.
Or something else. And now they can see that quick and they're like, oh, wow, I listen to that podcast every week. Or the Utini people, same thing. You know, oh, my God, it's the Utini Guild. They do the podcast. I love their show. I'm going to join their guild. And that's how I think that's such a big thing. And other games do this where, you know, you scroll over them and it says the guild that they're in and stuff like that. And a little quick like teaser about it. I think it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
The guild management changes, I think, are going to be good. I wouldn't say they're over the top, but they're good. I'm excited for them just because, like, as we're going to level in this new guild progression system, mm-hmm. somebody, you know, if somebody wants to be a part of the conquest, because I know, you know, AIE is big into the conquest. And I know because Daco is always talking about it, how Utini is big into conquest, right?
Yeah, they're working on it. I think that there are quite a few players that base their strategy for the week around earning those points. So I've not been actively a part of a guild until this point. So that's new for me because I never looked at the different yields, the high and the medium and the low, like there's something I can do because I was more like involved in a friend group. So six right. people are not going to earn 200,000 conquest points every week unless it's ops heavy and we play like four nights.
Right. So there's going to be, you're going to be able to do the guild inspect. There's going to be logging to see what people are doing. Cool. Guild mail. You know, I look at it as if there's new members or if there's something that you just need to type up to get out there and it's a general statement, you know, I host a monthly event for the guild. I wouldn't mind typing that in and just giving a brief overview. And yeah, if you check your mailbox, great, you'll read it. If not, well, then you don't. But it's just another nice way to communicate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the only other thing for the guild management is banned by legacy. I hope we never have to use that, but I guess if people are that poisonous
mm-hmm.
or they're parasites and they're just complete trolls and they try to ruin people's experiences, sure, ban them by legacy. See you later. Nobody needs you.
Right. Don't need that. That
at all. Nobody needs that.
Right.
And then the biggest win of them all, and as you've listened to our show and Brian with Bad Feeling, you know, the whole PvP challenge system where it's going to be AIE Guild versus Bad Feeling, I can't wait to shoot Brian, well, hit him with lightsabers, two of them,
yeah.
and take down him and his guild because, you know, their stuff's weak and we're going to take them down. And if I add to the smack talk. So, and then on top of it, you'll be able to stat track and do all those fun things, you know, just to make it a competitive, but fun because you're not, you know, I know we're not going to take it super seriously or I'm not, you know, I just want to get together with other guilds and have, you know, a fun night of just killing each other. And at the end of the night, say, oh, we won or you won, and then move on and say, we should do this again. Next time, we'll do it in your stronghold. So I'm fun for that. I'm excited for that.
That sounds great to me. I'm also pumped to be able to gang up on Brian with lightsabers.
Yes. So the only thing is what did they say? It's coming in December. So, you know, from now until December, I would say December 20th is my guess or something like that. You know, we'll hear more and more about this update, but, you know, just proves the point that 6.0 probably isn't coming out until next 2019 winter, and we'll get a big trailer at Star Wars Celebration. I'm calling it out now.
Awesome.
Yep.
I'm not so sure, Marcus, but I hope you're right.
What do you mean?
The big trailer at Celebration. I've been to 4 or 5 celebrations, and I haven't seen anything on site from BioWare. So maybe, you know, they don't have to physically be there. They could just reveal it online. So, you know, when I look at the part of me that's hopeful that you're right, you know, that's how I think they would do it.
Well, they're having their big cantina. I think the last cantina they did at Celebration, that's where Tithe was released, and they had people playing Tithe on computers. Right, at least that's what I thought.
You are right. It was an off-site event, though. So,
it was? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if they figure out... So they did the live stream today as a stream instead of a cantina in New York, because BioWare and EA have not figured out how to do their public events yet in the wake of the Jacksonville, the tragic shooting in their Madden tournament.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they do have time. Celebration is 5 months from now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so hopefully they figure out how to start doing things out and about again, because I would love to be there and meet some of the people involved in the game at their booth.
Some other really cool people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a good time. If you haven't been to a celebration, I highly recommend it, especially if you like Star Wars.
Right. Awesome. Well, Doc, thanks so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome.
Thanks again. Talk to you soon, Doc.
Anytime.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.